Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. In October of 2017 at the Feast of Tabernacles, I had a heart attack. I was rushed to the hospital, they did surgery, and then they proceeded to prescribe all kinds of big pharma stuff for my bad diabetes that I discovered I had. Well, the big pharma did absolutely nothing to help my healing or the diabetes. So this year, in 2018, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right after Passover, my friend Patrick had brought some Youngevity products from YourDIYHealth.com. He gave me them as I needed to be shown that they work because I'm such a terrible skeptic. Well, these things provided my body with the nutrients needed to heal itself, and I am absolutely amazed. I am not used to endorsing anything, but this stuff has worked wonders for me. You can contact Jim Ram, whose show is on EFR, at YourDIYHealth.com. That's YourDIYHealth.com. And the toll-free order number for those Youngevity products is 855-809-6864. That's 855-809-6864. If you have any of the problems that I was experiencing with diabetes or slow healing, I suggest that you try these products. I am sold on them. They really work. Thank you very much for your time, and may Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Ah, yes. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This show's for the 18th of May, 2018. It's my 384th word for word show. That's not counting the reruns. That's just new shows. We're in the Apocrypha in the book of Sirach today. We're going to be covering chapters 25 through 28, I guess. See if I can get all that done without rushing it. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. And all my shows are there. You can download them or just listen to them. Have an items for sale department there. You can take a look at what's there. You can order my Torahs there. I'm working real hard on the prophets. I'll have them done sometime this summer. That is a laborious process, computerizing all those years of work and all those notes. So please be patient. Oh boy. We have been reading the excellent work here of Sirach. It's very proverb-like. I'm very very pleased with it. It's got some really neat stuff. I'm trying to get all my notes together here. There we go. This also is a complicated process because this is an old book, and the notes the notes are prolific in here. This is the New Revised Standard Version that I'm reading from, and at the bottom in this one, it's just loaded with references and notes, and that's why I've kept it all these years. It's invaluable. You're not going to get this quantity and quality of notations. Plus, I've added my notes too. So, let's get started in chapter 25 here. This is a joyous read for me. I really enjoy it. I hope my mic's not too hot. It looks like it's peaking. I'll back it off a little bit here. There we go. Verse 1 of chapter 25. And the subsection here are those who are worthy of praise. I like that about this book. It's got all these little subsections and topic-related stuff. Makes it easier. Verse 1. I take pleasure in three things, and they are beautiful in the sight of God and of mortals. Okay. In another version it says, in three things I was beautiful, and I stood in beauty before the Lord and mortals. That would be Yahweh and mortals. That's another read. It has alternate stuff in here. It gives different versions. Continuing on with verse 1. Agreement among brothers and sisters, friendship among neighbors, and a wife and a husband who live in harmony. Verse 2. I hate three kinds of people, and I loathe their manner of life. A pauper who boasts, a rich person who lies, and an old fool who commits adultery. Wow. Verse 3. If you gathered nothing in your youth, how can you find anything in your old age? Verse 4. How attractive is sound judgment in the gray-haired, and for the aged to possess good counsel. Verse 5. How attractive is wisdom in the aged, and understanding and counsel in the venerable. Verse 6. Rich experience is the crown of the aged, and their boast is the fear of Yahweh. Now they have the Lord in here because it's been anglicized. Okay? They took the sacred name out. I'm putting the sacred name back in. It's hard to find books that haven't been tampered with in that manner. Verse 7. I can think of nine whom I would call blessed, and a tenth my tongue proclaims. A man who can rejoice in his children, a man who lives to see the downfall of his foes. Verse 8. Happy the man who lives with a sensible wife, and the one who does not plow with ox and ass together. That's in the Hebrew. That's also in scriptures. You don't plow with mixed animals. You don't mix the fabric of your clothing. You don't mix race. Okay? Lot of that. Happy is the one who does not sin with the tongue. This is all verse 8. And the one who has not served an inferior. Verse 9. Happy is the one who finds a friend. And the Greek has good sense instead of friend. And the one who speaks to attentive listeners. Well, that would be me, because people really listen to my shows, and I get great enjoyment out of imparting all the learning that I have accumulated over the years to them, because they actually appreciate it. So bless you. Okay? Verse 10. How great is the one who finds wisdom, but none is superior to the one who fears Yahweh. Verse 11. Fear of Yahweh surpasses everything. To whom can we compare the one who has it? Now, they have omitted verse 12 in the main text, but have put it in the notes. This would be verse 12. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of love for him, and faith is the beginning of clinging to him. Praise Yahweh. Now we're in the next little subsection. I'm going to get ahead of this nice hot coffee. And again, I'm recording in the wee hours of the morning before the building wakes up. Nice and quiet. This is some extreme forms of evil. This is a very short subsection. Verse 13, any wound, but not a wound of the heart. Any wickedness, but not the wickedness of a woman. Verse 14, any suffering, but not suffering from those who hate. And any vengeance, but not the vengeance of enemies. Verse 15, there is no venom worse than a snake's venom, and no anger worse than a woman's wrath. Now that's this section. Verse 15 in the Syriac, in the Greek, there is no head worse than a snake's head. Well, it's venom. Okay, and the woman's wrath, the note here is an enemy's wrath. Okay. So that's the alternate read on verse 15. Now we have another subsection in chapter 25, the evil of a wicked woman. Verse 16, I would rather live with a lion and a dragon than live with an evil woman. Ouch. Verse 17, a woman's wickedness changes her appearance and darkens her face like that of a bear. Verse 18, her husband sits among the neighbors and he cannot help sighing bitterly. In the Greek, it has her husband loses heart. And in the Greek, it has he, and listening, he sighs. Okay. Alternate reads, verse 19. Any iniquity is small compared to a woman's iniquity. May a sinner's lot befall her. Wow, this guy's getting down on women. Verse 20. A sandy ascent for the feet of the aged. Such is a garrulous wife to a quiet husband. Verse 21. Do not be ensnared by a woman's beauty, and do not desire a woman for her possessions. And the Greek reads, do not desire a woman for her beauty. Okay. Verse 22 of chapter 25. There is wrath and impudence and great disgrace when a wife supports her husband. In other words, if she's making the money, she's going to rub it in. Verse 23. Dejected mind, gloomy face, and wounded heart come from an evil wife. Drooping hands and weak knees come from the wife who does not make her husband happy. Verse 24. From a woman, sin had its beginning. And because of her, we all die. That's the story of Adam and Eve. Ouch. Ooh. Verse 25. Allow no outlet to water and no boldness of speech to an evil wife. Verse 26. If she does not go as you direct, separate her from yourself. Okay, now we switch gears. This is chapter 26, and the subsection here is the joy of a good wife. Okay, he gave the evil wife first. Now he's going to talk about a good wife. And then he's going to go back and talk about a wicked wife. All right, verse 1 of chapter 26. Happy is the husband of a good wife. The number of his days will be doubled. Verse 2. A loyal wife brings joy to her husband, and he will complete his years in peace. Verse 3. A good wife is a great blessing. She will be granted among the blessings of the man who fears Yahweh. And I'm putting the sacred name in where they have taken it out and put the Lord. So, if you're reading a different copy of this, you'll understand what I'm doing. Verse 4. Whether rich or poor, his heart is content, and at all times his face is cheerful. Now we come to another subsection in chapter 26, the worst of evils, a wicked wife. Verse 5. Of three things my heart is frightened, and of a fourth I am in great fear. Slander in the city, the gathering of a mob, and false accusation. All these are worse than death. Verse 6. But it is heartache and sorrow when a wife is jealous of a rival, and a tongue lashing makes it known to all. Verse 7. A bad wife is a chafing yoke. Taking hold of her is like grasping a scorpion. Verse 8. A drunken wife arouses great anger. She cannot hide her shame. Verse 9. The haughty stare betrays an unchaste wife. Her eyelids give her away. In other words, you can sort of tell when she's fooling around on you. Verse 10. Keep strict watch over a headstrong daughter, or else when she finds liberty, she will make use of it. Verse 11. Be on guard against her impudent eye, and do not be surprised if she sins against you. Verse 12. As a thirsty traveler opens his mouth and drinks from any water near him, so she will sit in front of every tent peg and open her quiver to the arrow. Ooh. That is a sexual metaphor right there. Boy, oh boy, she'll take anything that comes along, I guess. Wow. Another subsection here, the blessing of a good wife. Verse 13. A wife's charm delights her husband, and her skill puts flesh on his bones. Verse 14. A silent wife is a gift from Yahweh, and nothing is so precious as her self-discipline. Verse 15. A modest wife adds charm to charm, and no scales can weigh the value of her chastity. Okay, let's stop right there. There are some women today, they're married, and they dress properly. They don't expose their bodies for all these strange men to look at. They're not wearing tight short shorts and running around half naked. They dress properly. They're wearing a dress down below the knees, and they're covered up properly. They're not inviting lewd looks, okay? That's what they're talking about here. The value of her chastity, she's modest. Modest in her dress, modest in her speech. She's a righteous woman, in other words. That's hard to find today, and when you find one, it's like finding precious jewels. There are good women out there, but it's tough. Because all these other women are flashing all their goodies, and the men are like flies to honey. That's a lacking on the man's part. Okay? The man doesn't have self-control. He's thinking with his genitals instead of with his brain, and he doesn't have the moral value of the true Christian man. That is a fault in society today. So let's not put all the blame on the women. It's the men that are promoting a lot of this also. Let's be honest about it. Verse 16. Okay, of chapter 26. Like the sun rising in the heights of Yahweh, so is the beauty of a good wife in her well-ordered home. Verse 17. Like the shining lamp on the holy lampstand, so is a beautiful face on a stately figure. Verse 18. Like golden pillars on silver bases, so are the shapely legs and steadfast feet. And a wife that runs her house properly, the man's supposed to make the money and the woman's supposed to run the home. Let's be real honest about it. And that's very rare today. Women are still trying to make a living because it's so difficult in these last days for a family to even exist. And it's rough. They've got women out there working when they should be home taking care of kids. That would be the biblical way, but the world is not living according to the biblical way these days. Now, it has other ancient authorities add verses 19 through 27, and I'll read these as soon as I get a drink of this coffee here. Oh my, that helps. This would be verse 19 if you have all of them. My child, keep sound the bloom of your youth and do not give your strength to strangers. Verse 20. Seek a fertile field within the whole plain and sow it with your own seed, trusting in your fine stock. Verse 21. So your offspring will prosper, and having confidence in their good descent, will grow great. In other words, good lineage, good bloodline. Okay. Verse 22. A prostitute is regarded as spittle, and a married woman as a tower of death to her lovers. In other words, a tower of death. That jealous husband's going to catch up to him. Back in the day with a sword, okay, they would kill you for that back then. They do it today. A jealous husband is a fearsome thing. Verse 23. A godless wife is given as a portion to a lawless man, but a pious wife is given to the man who fears Yahweh. Hopefully. Verse 24. A shameless woman constantly acts disgracefully, but a modest daughter will even be embarrassed before her husband. He comes in the room and she's undressed or something, she'll blush before her own husband. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Those were the days, I guess. My. Verse 25, a headstrong wife is regarded as a dog. Boy, that's a derogatory term. But one who has a sense of shame will fear Yahweh. Verse 26, a wife honoring her husband will seem wise to all. But if she dishonors him in her pride, she will be known to all as ungodly. Happy is the husband of a good wife, for the number of his years will be doubled. Now that was part of a statement made before. Okay, that was verse 27. A loud voice and garrulous wife is like a trumpet sounding the charge. And every person like this lives in the anarchy of war. A trumpet sounding a charge. So it's just going, a loud-mouthed woman is a call to battle. Oh, man. So's a loudmouth man. Don't discriminate here. All these guys that are gonna do this and gonna do that, they're tough. And then when it hits the fan, they'll disappear and leave everybody else standing there to take the trouble. Boy, I've seen that before. I have seen that before. They talk a good game, but when it hits the fan, they're not there for you. Oh, boy. Here's another subsection called Three Depressing Things. Verse 28, at two things my heart is grieved, and because of a third, anger comes over me. A warrior in want through poverty. Intelligent men who are treated contemptuously. And a man who turns back from righteousness to sin. Yahweh will prepare him for the sword. Woo. Another subsection, the temptations of commerce. Okay, verse 29. A merchant can hardly keep from wrongdoing, nor is a tradesman innocent of sin. Now that ends chapter 26. But this theme The Temptations of Commerce, this theme carries over into chapter 27. And here we are in chapter 27, verse 1. This is a continuation of that theme that they have. Many have committed sin for gain, and those who seek to get rich will avert their eyes. In other words, they'll let all kinds of evil slide. Verse 2. As a stake is driven firmly into a fissure between stones, so sin is wedged in between selling and buying. Verse 3. If a person is not steadfast in the fear of Yahweh, his house will be quickly overthrown. Okay. Now here's another subsection, tests in life. Verse 4. When a sieve is shaken, the refuse appears. Pardon me. So do a person's faults when he speaks. You know what a sieve is? That's where you sift flour or whatever. And if there's any little stones or anything from when they used to grind the flour, they'll appear in the bottom. The flour will go out, the good stuff, and the refuse is left. Verse 5. The kiln tests the potter's vessels. So is the test of a person is in his conversation. So somebody that appears one way, when he starts to speak, it'll show a different person. Okay. Here is verse 6 of chapter 27. And you can reference Matthew 7:17 and 12:33 and Luke 6:44. That's Matthew 7:17 and 12:33 and the book of Luke 6:44 for chapter 27 verse 6. Its fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. So a person's speech discloses the cultivation of his mind. That's pretty profound. Verse 7. Do not praise anyone before he speaks, for this is the way people are tested. You can't get up and say, oh, this guy is really great, and then he gets up in front of a bunch of people and absolutely makes a fool of himself. You spoke too soon. Okay? That's what they're saying here. Another subsection, reward and retribution. Verse 8. If you pursue justice, you will attain it and wear it like a glorious robe. That's nice. Verse 9. Birds roost with their own kind, so honesty comes home to those who practice it. Verse 10. A lion lies in wait for prey, so does sin for evildoers. Another subsection, varieties of speech. Verse 11 of chapter 27. The conversation of the godly is always wise, but the fool changes like the moon. Verse 12. Among stupid people, limit your time, but among thoughtful people, linger on. Verse 13. The talk of fools is offensive, and their laughter is wantonly sinful. Verse 14. Pay attention to this. Their cursing and swearing make one's hair stand on end, and their quarrels make others stop their ears. Cursing and swearing. You never really have to resort to that, brothers and sisters. You can absolutely cut somebody to pieces using proper language. Use your brain. Don't let your anger make a fool of you when you speak. You don't need to curse and swear to make a point. Okay? Word to the wise out there. Verse 15 of chapter 27. The strife of the proud leads to bloodshed, and their abuse is grievous to hear. And here we are, verses 16 through 21 of chapter 27. You can reference Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, and Proverbs 25, verse 9. That's 20, verse 19, and 25, verse 9, on verses 16 through 21. This has to do with betraying secrets. Verse 16. Whoever betrays secrets destroys confidence and will never find a congenial friend. Verse 17. Love your friend and keep faith with him. But if you betray his secrets, do not follow after him. Verse 18, for as a person destroys his enemy, so you have destroyed the friendship of your neighbor. Verse 19, and as you allow a bird to escape from your hand, so you have let your neighbor go and will not catch him again. Verse 20. Do not go after him, for he is too far off and has escaped like a gazelle from a snare. Verse 21. For a wound may be bandaged, and there is reconciliation after abuse. But whoever has betrayed secrets is without hope. In other words, If you betray your friend, you've burned your bridges with him. You're done with him. He's never going to trust you again. It's over. Friendship is gone. Here's another subsection, hypocrisy and retribution. Verse 22. Whoever winks the eye plots mischief, and those who know him will keep their distance. Verse 23. In your presence, his mouth is all sweetness, and he admires your words. But later, he will twist his speech, and with your own words, he will trip you up. He's gonna use your own words against you. Verse 24, I have hated many things, but him above all. Even Yahweh hates him. That's what it says in verse 24. Verse 25, whoever throws a stone straight up, throws it on his own head, and a treacherous blow opens up many wounds. You sucker punch somebody, they're going to remember that. Or if you betray somebody treacherously, they're going to remember that. Verse 26. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. And whoever sets a snare will be caught in it. Verse 27. If a person does evil, it will roll back on him, and he will not know where it came from. Verse 28. Mockery and abuse issue from the proud, but vengeance lies in wait for them like a lion. Verse 29. Those who rejoice in the fall of the godly will be caught in a snare, and pain will consume them before their death. Now here's another subsection, and this goes from 27. This is the last verse of 27, and it goes into chapter 28. This is called Anger and Vengeance, verse 30 of chapter 27. Anger and wrath, these also are abominations, yet a sinner holds on to them. This is verse 1 of chapter 28. It crosses over chapters. The vengeful will face Yahweh's vengeance, for he keeps a strict accounting of their sins. Now there's a note here. It says, for he firmly establishes their sins. Okay, verse 2 of chapter 28, you can reference Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. That's Matthew 6, 14. And Mark chapter 11, verse 25. That's 11:25 in the book of Mark. Verse 2 of 28. Forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. Verse 3. Does anyone harbor anger against another and expect healing from Yahweh? Verse 4. If one has no mercy toward another like himself, can he then seek pardon for his own sins? Verse 5. If a mere mortal harbors wrath, who will make an atoning sacrifice for his sins? Verse 6. Remember the end of your life and set enmity aside. Remember corruption and death and be true to the commandments. Verse 7. Remember the commandments and do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook faults. What's it say in the New Testament? If you won't forgive your brother, how can you expect forgiveness? This is it. Wow. Verse 8. Refrain from strife and your sins will be fewer. For the hot-tempered kindle strife. Verse 9. And the sinner disrupts friendship and sows discord among those who are at peace. Verse 10. In proportion to the fuel, so will the fire burn. And in proportion to the obstinacy, so will strife increase. And in the other authorities, it said, so will strife burn, okay? In proportion to a person's strength will be his anger. And in proportion to his wealth, he will increase his wrath. Verse 11. A hasty quarrel kindles a fire, and a hasty dispute sheds blood. This is a subsection, the evil tongue. I have about 7 minutes. I can get a lot of this done. Verse 12. If you blow on a spark, it will glow. If you spit on it, it will be put out. Yet both come out of your mouth. Verses 13 through 26, you can reference Sirach, chapter 51, that's this book, verses 2 through 6, and James, the book of James, chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. That's Sirach 51, 2 through 6, and James 3, 5 through 12. Verse 13, curse the gossips and the double tongue, for they destroy the peace of many. Verse 14, slander has shaken many and scattered them from nation to nation. It has destroyed strong cities and overturned the houses of the great. Verse 15, slander has driven virtuous women from their homes and deprived them of the fruit of their toil. Verse 16, those who pay heed to slander will not find rest, nor will they settle down in peace. Verse 17, the blow of a whip raises a welt, but a blow of the tongue crushes the bones. Verse 18. Many have fallen by the edge of the sword, but not as many as have fallen because of the tongue. Verse 19. Happy is the one who is protected from it, who has not been exposed to its anger, who has not borne its yoke, and has not been bound with its fetters. Verse 20. For its yoke is a yoke of iron, and its fetters are the fetters of bronze. Verse 21. Its death is an evil death, and Hades is preferable to it. And that in Hebrew would be Sheol, the land of the dead. Verse 22. It has no power over the godly. They will not be burned in its flame. Verse 23. Those who forsake Yahweh will fall into its power. The power of the tongue. Okay. It will burn among them and will not be put out. It will be sent out against them like a lion, like a leopard. It will mangle them. That's the evil tongue. Now, this is in sections. As you fence in your property with thorns, as you lock up your silver and gold, okay, so make a door and a bolt for your mouth. So make balances and scales for your words. Verse 26. Take care not to err with your tongue and fall victim to one lying in wait. That's pretty powerful stuff there, folks. Pretty powerful stuff. Well, I'm coming down to the end of the hour, and I have enjoyed this tremendously. I like to read this stuff on my own, but then I really like to go over it. That's why I have so many notes. Because this is really fine stuff. I truly enjoy this. So thank you for joining me today. It has been a great pleasure, and I will catch you again on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.